This morning, our thoughts come from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4. If you're having trouble hearing me with this mask on, just raise your hand and I'll pull it down. Try to talk with it on so we can comply here. The Bible says, or God tells us, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." In this passage of Scripture, God tells us of a sin that does so easily beset us. And that's what we'd like to spend a little time talking about this morning. But before we do, we have a wonderful opportunity to pray. So let us humble ourselves, the one selected leads us in that prayer. God tells us about a race that we're going to run. And it's not a sprint, but it's a marathon. God tells us that because he says that we are to run it with patience, the race that is set before us. That means that on our journey through this life, and we are being compared here with someone who would run a race, that we have to have patience to run the race that is ahead of us when we enter into Christ. Now, he tells us here that, for one, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, in the previous chapter, he talks about faith. And he talks about all the people through the Old Testament, or a few of them, not all of them, a few of them, that had great faith and demonstrated and showed that faith. He also here would be addressing to us that under the New Testament, we too are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that witness the ministry of Jesus Christ, witness his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. So since we have all this that is telling us the great story of God sending his son to die on the cross, he tells us we need to lay aside every weight. Now, if you were going to run a race, you wouldn't want to run it with weights on your feet, on your wrist, or on your back. You would want to get everything off of you that you possibly could so that you could run as long as you could and as fast as you could. Well, that's understandable. The things of this world are those weights. The things that we may think of more than we think of God. Now, we may say God is first in our lives, but is he really? Is he above everything else that we have? And that's something to think about. Now, he says, and the sin that does which so easily beset us. Now, the word beset means persistence. He's telling us that there is a persistent sin that comes after the Christian and comes after everybody with faith. Now, I've read a lot of different people on this subject. A lot of them say that it's a different sin for each individual. That, in other words, one man may be tempted by money. One man may be tempted by lust. Another person may be tempted in lying, stealing, or whatever the case may be. But I honestly think that what he's telling us here is one sin that is persistent against all Christians, and that is the sin of unbelief. The reason being that God has already told us in the Hebrew letter that those who died in the wilderness and those people who do not have belief in him are not going to enter into his rest. God cannot accept unbelief. So that's what we want to talk about today. That's what we want to look at, that this is the sin that easily persistent upon us and upon people to keep them from running this race that we are involved in. In chapter 11, the previous chapter, is a chapter that is known of faith. He starts off by telling us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there's evidence, but we haven't seen it. We have evidence of things that exist that we have not seen. He goes on to say, "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So what's he telling us about faith? He's telling us that faith is something that we believe in, though may not can be proven. You don't have visual, but yet you believe in it. You don't have tangible, something you can touch, but yet you believe in it. You remember in the ministry of Jesus that the people asked him, said, "Look, show us a sign. We'll believe you. Show us the Father," they even asked him. But Jesus said, "There's not going to be any sign given to you because you are an adulterous and pervert generation, except for the sign of the prophet Jonah that was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." A sign. Give us something that will increase, that will cause us to believe. So what is faith? Faith is trust. Not just trust alone, you might say. It is complete trust. You believe in something. You believe that it's real. You believe that it exists. But to have faith in something is to have complete trust in it. It also means to have confidence in it, whatever that may be. Sometimes we may say, "I have faith in that person to do what they're going to do." That means that we completely trust that they're going to do what it is we believe they're going to do, and we have confidence in them that they're going to do it. Now that's what faith is. So unbelief tries to erode away at this complete trust. A young man came to Jesus. He said, "Master, what good thing must I do that I may obtain eternal life?" Of course, you know Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God." But if you want eternal life, go and sell everything, keep all the commandments. And the man said, "Well, I've kept all the commandments." "Well, then go and sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." And the young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions, the Bible tells us. How many of us today would be willing to sell everything we got, give it to the poor, and follow after Jesus? Now, we may say Jesus isn't asking us to do that today. Jesus knows we need to make a living and so on and so forth. He was proving a point to this young man. But the point we want to make here today is, what kind of faith would it have required for that young man to do what Jesus asked him to do? He would have had to have had complete trust in Jesus. Perhaps he was thinking in his mind that if I get rid of my wealth, how am I going to support myself? How am I going to support my family? If I get rid of this wealth, how do I know I'm giving it to people that really need it, or whatever the case may be? If I get rid of this wealth, I lose the position that I got. I don't have the possessions that I had. But in order for him to have done it, he would have had to have had complete trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. And that's what God asks us to have today. Complete trust and confidence in him. We know that we are living in times that are difficult. Probably in our lifetime, maybe we've never faced the difficulties we're facing now. Our political system in this country is completely in disarray. It's paralyzed between two or three viewpoints. People can't agree and they can't get along. We have protests in the streets. We have looting. We have murdering. We have drugs affecting people's lives. We have people not showing any respect to government or to law that tries to protect us or tries to keep us safe. We have a pandemic going on. We have so many things around us, and yet we can understand that through all of this, we must maintain the faith. In 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 7, the Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So Peter here is warning us. There'll come people that's going to scoff. They're going to walk after their own desires, their own lust. They're going to say, well, where's the promise of his coming? Everything stayed the same since the fathers have all passed away. Friends, we've lived in that time for some time. There's people today that don't have any idea about God or what God wants or demands of them or how God sent his son to die on the cross for their sins. They scoff at the things which you might say, and they scoff at the word of God. They walk only because their own greed or their own lust drives them, and that's what they want. 2 Timothy 3 and 1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. So it's no secret to us. It doesn't come at any surprise to us that man is simply going to get worse and worse. And that situations are going to get worse and worse. We look over there in the Old Testament at Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't think Sodom and Gomorrah turned evil overnight. It was through a span of time that Sodom and Gomorrah got so wicked that God had to destroy it with fire and brimstone. In the time of Noah, it wasn't that man overnight became so wicked and thought of only himself and was violent towards other people. That was one of the greatest sins, was they were violent towards each other. That didn't just happen overnight, but it happened over time. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, we have people today that are being deceived because they think that the possessions that they have is what's going to save them, is what's going to make their life comfortable. All they're thinking of is this flesh and blood, and they're not thinking beyond the realm of this life. They're just going to wax worse and worse, the Bible tells us. And so I think we can see that. Think of the changes in your lifetime of what was not accepted when you were young, and now what they're accepting. Perhaps some of you who are young, there hasn't been too many. But I can tell you that some of us, it's been around a while, there's a lot of changes of things that people today think is okay to do. It's not a sin. But less than 40, 50 years ago, it would have been a sin. So that's how people are becoming. But Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, God demands of us faith, that complete trust, that confidence in him, that those who would come to him not only understand and believe with no doubt that he is, but that he is also going to be a rewarder of those who would seek him. In Romans 10 and 16 and 17, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want your faith increased, read the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Those stories of old that we read and believe and are confident happen continue to strengthen us. That God did flood this world and save one family. That God did part a sea and the children of Israel went through on dry land. that God did have man build the temple, that God did choose a race of people from Abraham to be his children. And on and on. We could talk all day, such as the Word of God says, the writer here in Hebrews, that time did not permit him to go on and talk about everybody that had faith. And all the things that we see increase our faith. Hebrews 10:38-39 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So we are told here, the just live by what? Faith. This complete trust and confidence in God that He will do what He says He will do. That He is, and that He is in control. You know, when we come to that realization that God is in control, a lot of things will come off your back. A lot of the weights of this world, a lot of the worry and care of this world will fall off. When we realize in our minds that God is in control, and if He's in control of our life, my life, your life, we read on in 1 Timothy 4:10, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." Here is Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, we trust in God. But unbelief will erode away at that trust. When I started in school, and the big thing back then that began to be taught was evolution. That man came from a lower life source and evolved over periods of years and years and years into what we see today. Well, I imagine there were some people that fell for that. Some people who even had faith began to believe in that. And when they did, unbelief crept into their life. You have known, and I have known, people who were strong in the faith who no longer sit on these benches, who somewhere never goes to church anymore. But at one time, they were strong in the faith. They had trust in God. They believed in God. Somewhere along the line, unbelief crept in, eroded away the sin that so easily beset us. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I don't know that it can be said any plainer than that. What we walk by is our trust and confidence in God. We don't walk by sight. It's not the things that we see. It's the things we believe. The things that are in us. The world may say, a man of the world may say, "Look what I have built for myself," like Nebuchadnezzar, who walked through the great palaces of Babylon and said, "Look at everything I have built." No sooner did those words fall out of his mouth than he became like an animal, dumb, living out in the field, dew falling on him, like he was a madman. For 7 years until he came back, and then his senses was given to him, and he realized, I didn't build all this. It's because of God that all this exists. We walk by faith, not by sight. In Matthew 13:58, Jesus was in Nazareth. But the Bible says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because they didn't believe in him, then he didn't do mighty works that were there. In Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. A man had brought his son that we're told was a lunatic that would fall into the fire, and he would fall, and things would happen to him. And the man said, I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. So Jesus healed the young man. And they asked Jesus, why couldn't we heal him? Jesus said simply, it's because of your unbelief. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to cast out all doubt, to cast out anything that's against faith. but it's what we strive towards, what we should live towards, it's what we should accomplish in our life. Matthew 16 and 14, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, the Bible, as we read in our text, says that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And we already said that many people who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, witnessed him walking here in the flesh, that we have written down on the paper, such as John said, these things are written so that you might believe. Jesus upbraided, he chastised these disciples because they did not believe what the other disciples were telling them occurred. Even though he told them, this is what is going to happen. In Romans 11 and 20, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Now standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. Here, Paul is telling to us that Israel, and he reckoned it God's people like a tree. And he said, this branch over here was broken off. The branch of the Jews who what? Because of their unbelief. And you, the Gentile, were grafted in because of your faith. Now don't be high-minded about that, he said. Because these over here in unbelief, if they turn and they have faith, they'll be grafted back in. But the point he's making is well taken. Without faith, our limbs will be broken off. There's no place. Unbelief creeps in, and it can destroy us. You know, we look at politics today, and I hate to look at it. But I realize that that's something that comes into our minds. It's on the news every day. You see the ads, you see everything. But if we simply understand that God is in control, that's not anything I have to worry about anymore. I don't have to worry about who's up there in the White House. I don't have to worry about who's over there in North Korea or who's over there in Russia or who's in Israel or any other country. If God's in control. If I completely trust in God, I don't even need to meddle in those things. I can just get rid of that. Listen to Daniel 4:17. This matters by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. Now, if I believe that, then I don't need to worry about politics. I need to worry about what Christians should be worrying about and get on with life, what Christians are to worry about. Listen to what Daniel says in Daniel 2:20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. I have faith in God. I don't have to worry about those things, do I? God changeth the times, the seasons. He removes kings and he sets them up. If I were to participate in our political system, I may be participating against God. Who I want in there, or who I think would be great in there, doesn't matter. It matters who God thinks should be in there. And he will put the person in charge of the countries that he sees fit. Because all things are going to come in his direction. They're going to come down to the final battle that we read about in the book of Revelations. And Romans 9:17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God set up Pharaoh to show his power against Pharaoh. Pharaoh thought he was divine. People had convinced them, you're a ruler, you're divine. Well, he wasn't divine. And God showed him. Notice in Exodus 3 and 21, when God did the Passover and the firstborn of Egypt died, and the people were getting ready to leave, God said, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty." You may ask, well, what does that mean? Here these Israelites lived among these Egyptians as slaves, workers, had to do what Egyptians wanted. All these 10 plagues came upon Egypt. You would think that these people despised and hated the Israelite. They pleaded with Pharaoh, let them go. Get them out of here. We don't want no more of this. And yet God was able to cause the Egyptians to look upon the Israelites with favor. And they gave them abundantly. That's where the gold and the silver and all the things came from to build the tabernacle. Because these Egyptians said, here, take it. Now that would seem strange to you, wouldn't it? It seems strange to me. But yet, because God was able to give them favor. So what am I saying? Well, you might look in a democracy today and you may think that the person that's elected in any democracy around this world, that it's because of the people that went in there and elected them. But once again, God can show favor. God can cause people to show favor to one or to the other. Make no doubt about it, God is in control. If I have faith in that, I have complete trust and confidence in God, then that's something I no longer have to worry about. In James 1:27, the Bible says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, I remember the old analogy given years ago by many speakers about the old earthworm. And how the earthworm's down there in the muck and the dirt crawling around. And you grab a hold of him and you pull him out, but he's clean. The mud doesn't stick to him. The earth doesn't stick to him. He's clean looking. All that stuff he was down there digging through and crawling through isn't on him. Well, that's the way the Christian has to be here in this world. All these things that the world represents and has, greed, violence, lust, they don't need to be on the Christian. They have no place in the Christian life. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? You know, we surround ourselves with unbelievers. You don't think some of that's going to start rubbing off? You surround yourself with people that don't believe in God. Don't believe God created the heavens and the earth. Want to believe in science. You don't think some of that might rub off? We have to be careful. We have to watch the company we keep. There's an old saying, if you sleep with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. And that's so true. You want to go out there and waller with people in the world, don't be surprised when the world becomes something that hinders you. We have to watch out for our souls and ourselves. We need to keep unbelief out of our life. We need to have complete trust in God. A man may say, I'm rich because of what I did. But you'll say, I have what I have because God has given it to me. Now that's the two differences of how people look at things. There were some missionaries going through Europe years ago. And they were traveling, and of course, back then, they were walking mostly. It was getting late, and there was a farmhouse up the road. So they went to the farmhouse, knocked on the door, and the man showed them hospitality. He brought them in, and he told them they could spend the night, and that they could eat dinner with him. And as they sat down there at the table to eat dinner, the missionaries bowed their head, and they thanked God for the food they were about to receive. The farmer says, why are you thanking God? I'm the one that plowed the field. I'm the one that planted the seed. I'm the one that hoed out the weeds. I'm the one that grew these crops. The missionary simply told him, did you ever think What would happen to your crops if you had 1 year with no rain? There'd be no crops. And who gives you the rain? Who gave you the seed? Who gave you the earth? Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what we think, what we've done. But we need to understand God is definitely in control these days. Peter was one who had believed he had great faith before the crucifixion of Jesus. You remember, he said, though all the rest of these may deny you, I'm not. I'm not going to deny you, Lord. But Jesus had to tell him, look, tonight, you're going to deny me three times. He even said if it meant to his death, he would be with Jesus. What did Jesus tell him in Luke 22 and 32? But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So again, when we're with people of like precious faith, they don't erode our belief. They don't attack our faith. Because we believe in the same thing. We have faith in the same thing. We nurture one another. We strengthen one another. We exhort one another. We edify one another. Here, as he tells us, Jesus told Peter, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that your faith fail not. It's a sobering thought. Would our faith fail us in the time of need? Would our complete trust in God not be there because the road gets rough? Will our confidence in God not be there because life isn't going the way we want it? These are things we need to think on. John 17, 15 to 16, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus praying for his disciples, and at the end of the chapter, of course, we know that he prays for everyone that would believe on him, that we're not of this world. He's not of this world. We're not of this world. God, I don't want you to take them out of this world. Not right now. The world needs to hear the message that they're going to give. The world needs to see the example that they're going to live. But I just want you to keep them from evil. Keep the world off of them. 1 John 4, verses 4 through 6. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We're not of this world, though we live here. By faith, we'll get through it. The race is set before us to run. Lay off every weight. Lay off everything that would hinder us from running the race. Be patient. Run it with patience. Look to God. Remember, have complete trust in Him and all things that His will be done. There's something that Jesus said in Luke 18 and 8 I've often thought upon many a time. Jesus says here, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that's a thought to me that's very sad to think. That when Jesus comes, there would be no faith. There wouldn't be people that had confidence in Him or God or would have complete trust in Him. That's a sad thought. But Jesus asked that question. When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on earth? You and I need to make sure that our faith is intact. We need to make sure that we put unbelief out of our lives. There's no room for it. There's no reason for doubt. There's no reason to believe the things that man comes up with in his ways and his thoughts and in his intelligence. Because God makes his wisdom, the world's wisdom, foolishness. So this morning, I hope we've said something that will encourage us to think about our faith, that will help us so that unbelief doesn't creep in or erode away at our faith. If you are not a child of God, the Bible teaches us to hear what God says in His Word, but not just to hear it, but to do it, according to Matthew 7:24. The Bible also tells us to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus tells us that in John 8, that if we do not believe in Him as who He is, we'll die in our sins. The Bible tells us in Luke 13:3 to repent, that if we don't repent, we'll perish. God tells us in Matthew 10:32 that we need to confess Jesus before men, and He will confess us before God. And then Jesus tells us to believe and to be baptized. Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And we become a child of God. We're on that race that's set before us. Run it with patience. Work on your faith every day. Think of it. How can I today trust God in everything that happens? To be one this morning, won't you come while we stand and sing?